Hi everyone, welcome back to the Replatform podcast sponsored by Patchworks. It's just me today as James is busy with client work, but we've got a super interesting episode. I'm joined by Michael from Commerce UI, who I'll let introduce himself in a second. But I essentially invited Michael on probably a few weeks ago now, but I've cancelled a number of times or moved it a number of times, but we've got her in the end. To essentially talk about Hydrogen and kind of, I guess, Shopify's general kind of approach to headless since they announced Hydrogen and Oxygen and what it means for merchants and also what it means in the context of everything that's going on at the moment with Liquid and online store. Super excited to have you on. Just to set the scene a little bit more as well, just before I do hand over. So I think it is an interesting time at the moment because I think when Hydrogen was first kind of announced and, you know, people started looking at it, headless was probably a little bit more at the kind of forefront of what Shopify were doing, whereas it feels like it's maybe not talked about as much at the moment, you know, as they've kind of moved towards more enterprise positioning rather than just components, etc. And it'll also be interesting to talk a bit about kind of where it sits in relation to maybe arguably some of the low-code movements Shopify are making as they kind of introduce more visual editing and that kind of functionality into the theme customizer, etc., and sections. So we've spoke a lot about it. I know you've spoken to Liam a lot about it as well. Thanks for joining. Welcome to the podcast. Maybe to start off with, you can just give us a bit of an introduction to you, Commerce UI. Yeah, in fact, just those two to start off with.
Yeah. So yeah, very nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me. So let me maybe start, from Commerce UI. So Commerce UI is, you know, this design tech agency solely focused on building e-commerce. We work with premium brands mainly from fashion, tech, and lifestyle industry. We are also a small senior-led team, and our strong side is, you know, combining aesthetics with technology. When it comes to me, I'm CTO at Commerce UI, and I'm mainly responsible for delivery and everything technological at Commerce UI.
Lovely. And I was going to add a few examples to that, but I didn't bring your website up in time. They've done some really good sites. We work together on Lyft Foils, and I know there's a number of others that are very widely discussed from both a headless and general kind of, you know, quality at front end perspective. So first question, in fact, maybe not even question, but initially, just for the kind of audience and maybe listeners that don't know the ins and out of Hydrogen, can you just talk us through exactly what Hydrogen and Oxygen are in layman's terms, and also just give us a view of what you think Shopify's overall objectives were when they introduced them to the market?
Yes. So simply put, Hydrogen is a Shopify native solution for building headless storefronts. The same goes for Oxygen. It's a native Shopify solution for hosting those headless storefronts. So I think we'll also talk about this most likely later on, but Hydrogen is only a front face of a bigger architectural shift on Shopify. And the biggest value prop of Hydrogen and Oxygen at this point is that it reduces the entry of barrier to headless significantly. It does it by offering a very solid starter and standardizing the headless development, which is historically a biggest pain point when it comes to headless. There is so much decision to make that it's very easy to make a bad decision. And when you start with somehow standardized approach, it reduces the risk of a project by a mile.
Great. And I guess, like, what do you think, like, when Shopify introduced it? Because actually Shopify was already fairly mature when it came to headless, and I think probably more so than a lot of people realized. And, you know, a lot of the, even the composable platforms out there, don't kind of have this more kind of opinionated approach to the front end framework and tech stack. So what do you think Shopify's objectives are? Why do you think they did it?
Yes, I honestly think there is a couple of reasons there. One thing is that I think the most obvious one is that Shopify shifts focus towards enterprise, and enterprise is where headless is very very well received, and most likely enterprise clients has already some technical capabilities to use headless. They are used to headless, so to some extent they had to have an answer for that. Another thing is that there are other contenders rising, like Centra, for example, which offers also headless approach, and they also wanted to be in that space. Another thing could be the overall shift in how you build e-commerce sites right now. So back in the days, you had to build a homepage, PDP, PLP, cart, and that's it. And you had your e-commerce. And right now, it's much more competitive. You build the whole storytelling. You have this 360 experience and this on-brand experience in your e-commerce. Brands invest much more into storytelling. And for those brands, Liquid may just not be enough. So they wanted to also be in that in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can come on to it later on, but I think it'd be good to understand, like, I guess, some of the benefits to Shopify of developers like Commerce UI kind of playing within their ecosystem as well, like what that kind of allows them to do. And I think we can also talk a bit more around kind of, obviously, Shopify has their app ecosystem, but what that could look like in the future. But we can come on to that. The original topic for this episode was to talk with your client, Norhammer, which was going to be kind of a general discussion as to why they went down the hydrogen route and also then how you kind of built the site. But we decided to switch it up just because, you know, we have a lot of discussions with brands, and I think it'd probably be more interesting for us to get into the detail a little bit and do a bit of an open Q&A. So Norhammer is a super, you know, strong site. Again, it's been like widely praised by people in the industry. But they're obviously a luxury brand with relatively small team, I would imagine. What made them go down the hydrogen route? What was it that kind of, yeah, drove the decision?
Yes. So I like the fact that we made this decision very on together, and they listened to our recommendations right from the beginning of our partnership. And, you know, Norhammer is this kind of a specific brand, and at the first glance, it may not seem fit for headless. So we started our research around them, and we were considering Liquid approach. But then we looked closer how they managed their previous site and what pain points they had. And one thing that caught our eye at the beginning was that they are not benefiting much from the app ecosystem. So their site was bloated, they weren't happy around it, and basically the major pain points revolves around how those integrations work or don't work there. So, and this is a very common case for those premium fashion brands, which cares more about, you know, this bespoke experience, this on-brand experience, and they are not interested in this typical say booster e-commerce flows or say booster integrations. So they just don't work for them. They care more about this, you know, feeling of prestige, luxury maybe, but so that was one point for us. Another thing that caught our attention was that they have very strong focus on editorial. and they have very, very, a lot of very custom ideas how they want to tell their story. And they don't have a dedicated editorial team. So we knew that this part will be most likely a bottleneck. And we knew that the editorial experience play a huge role in this project and has to be explicit and easy and allow them to build those custom storytelling. Another thing is that they really, really care about this UI excellence, how the site looks and feels, how you go through the whole flows, how all of the widgets interact and behave, and how they fit into the site. So, and to be honest, Nuremberg is this kind of a borderline case from a technological point of view. So, and seamlessly small things tip the scale if we should go headless or not. And without Hydrogen, I think, honestly, that this decision would be harder. But with Hydrogen, we knew that the headless is a good way to go for what they want to achieve now and in the future. And it all boils down to the cost. If it's applicable in this case. So with Hydrogen, we knew that we could create this bespoke experience, but at the same time, not make the project unnecessarily complex.
Patchworks, the world's most modern integration platform. We can connect any key e-commerce system from storefronts to marketplaces and ERPs to fulfillment solutions. This allows retailers and partners alike to simplify their tech stack integration and do away with point-to-point vendor-specific apps. We can automate and streamline the flow of data across your entire e-commerce business. Find out more at wearepatchworks.com.
That makes sense. And an interesting, like, I guess it's more of a discussion than a question, but yeah, we're working with a brand at the moment, and they're very high-end, I'd say premium fashion brand, more so than luxury. But it's interesting because they have aspirations to be quite agile and, you know, build a really solid, kind of roadmap in terms of new features. And, you know, they want to kind of build a more optimization culture, which I think might be, for the type of team they've got, easier to achieve in Liquid. But they also want, like, you know, the like you say, like that perfect rendering experience. They want everything to be, you know, every little interaction, every little kind of bit of animation to be perfect. And then they have massive, you know, imagery, like loads of video. You know, they're insistent on certain pieces of functionality that clearly slow down the kind of existing Liquid theme and also kind of bloat the site. And actually, when we first looked at it, I don't think us or the agency would have wanted to go down the Hydrogen route, but I actually do think they could be, and they probably could be a really good fit. And I guess, like, do you see any, like, you build on both now, so you build on Liquid as well. Like, yes. What's your view on, do you think it's possible to achieve that same kind of perfect, like you say, kind of UI and rendering experience, like you look at kind of an on-running or some of the headless sites that you've built, like, do you think it's possible to achieve that in Liquid?
Yes and no. It always depends when you put that, you know, point of excellence of UI. I generally think that Liquid will take you very, very far when it comes to UI or UX excellence. Let's say, you know, like 85, maybe even 90% of the way. But if you are the kind of brand that cares about this last 10%, headless solutions will typically be a better suited for the task. It all boils down to the fact that there is a wider toolkit when it comes to creating bespoke UI widgets, and also the fact that if we look at the front end as an industry on itself, the top voices of this industry are very much invested in headless space. They are all talking headless, and the biggest progress in the industry is happening in this space. As it happens, one of those top voices is the creator of Remix, which is basically Hydrogen right now, since Shopify invested into Remix and built Hydrogen on top of the Remix. Another thing that allows you to achieve this excellence is the fact that you are in control. Of course, with this control, there comes much greater responsibility. You can break much more things, but you control, on one hand, the routing, the URL structure looks like, how you load the site, how you present the data, what part of the data should be presented right at the beginning, what kind of data should be loaded later on, and so on and so on. So that's a big part of creating those experiences. Another thing is that you control the integrations and you control the data flow from a third party services, and you obtain the data and you decide how it should be presented to the great extent. So, and it depends always where you sit. It may be worth the cost, it may not. So yeah.
And I think, so one question that I think a lot of people think that maybe doesn't get asked that much, and there's some really good, like pre-Hydrogen, there were some great headless experiences on Shopify, and for a long time, like a lot of the strongest sites in or on and around Shopify have been headless. What are the tangible benefits? Like, I guess, like you've obviously been building headless pre-Hydrogen, like that beyond the fact that right now, beyond the fact that, like you say, it's kind of better connected to Shopify and there's a lower barrier to entry, maybe less cost. Like, what are the other benefits to using Hydrogen over, you know, the tech stack that you might have used pre-Hydrogen and Oxygen?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So for me, the biggest tangible benefit is being able to use external CMS. So a well-managed external CMS could be a powerful tool in your full e-commerce flow. Not only in building site, it could also adapt to your business flows.
Just to stop you there, Mike might edit this bit out, but I've changed the question slightly.
All right.
I've changed it, if you don't mind, to Hydrogen versus like another headless stack. So if you were building before, so you could still use a headless CMS. So you might use like Contentful as part of the environment. But I guess I just want to understand like how much benefit there is to Hydrogen over what stack you might have used 2 years ago, if you see what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yes. Sure. Sorry, I just looked at the previous version of the question. So yeah, but yeah, sure thing.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to edit this out. Okay, and then I guess like a bit of a sub question. Like you 2-3 years ago were building headless sites on top of Shopify, and a lot of the stronger Shopify or like sites around the Shopify ecosystem out there were very, you know, were headless builds. Hydrogen. Like in terms of kind of tangible benefits to you as an agency or the merchant, like beyond kind of saving time and potentially reducing cost and, you know, being within Shopify's ecosystem long term, like what other benefits are there of Hydrogen over, you know, that stack you might have used 2 years ago?
Yes. So I generally think if we compare Hydrogen from a technical point of view to other frameworks, I think we'll go into really academic discussion. As I mentioned, Hydrogen is built on a matured bottle tested framework Remix. And there is, of course, there is a competition with other frameworks, but there are no clear winner there, I would say. But what Hydrogen does really, really well is that it makes historically complex features, it solves those historically complex features for you. And by those, I mean, for example, Shopify analytics or authorizations and so on. Another thing is that you starting with this team that shows you how to approach common e-commerce flows, like, you know, adding to cart or loading more products on a PLP side. And it offers set of standards that you can use. So there is much less risk of making bad decision there, because that's where I really like the thing that you're saying very often: with great flexibility comes great responsibility. And you still can be flexible, but Hydrogen reduces the overhead of making those decisions upfront significantly. So that's one thing. Another thing is Oxygen on itself. So a lot of complexities when it comes to build headless sites comes to the way you host it. There are great services out there that doing really great job and simplifies things, but the fact that you are still inside the Shopify and you just don't have to worry about it, it just works out of the box, it plays a huge role in the Hydrogen development. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really useful context. And so this is an interesting one. So I think when people, because there are negative connotations in the industry around headless in places, and a lot of that comes from when someone has selected or like decided to go down the headless route and they probably shouldn't have done, or if, you know, it's a bad fit, etc. Whereas I think James and I always say, like, there's definitely a place for headless. It's just a case of aligning it with the business case and also the team. And just making sure people kind of understand the pros and cons. But most people would say one of the big cons for headless is that you don't have that same level of access to the app ecosystem. But a couple of things that you said in the notes ahead of the episode made me kind of think a bit more about the negative side of the app ecosystem, I guess. And, you know, some of those kind of pre-built widgets and, you know, JavaScript heavy widgets, I guess. Can you just talk us through that, I guess? And like, yeah, maybe some of the pros to not using the app ecosystem.
Yeah. At the beginning, I just want to address the thing that you still can benefit from the app ecosystem when you're headless. Mostly those that leverage or orchestrate the Shopify backend. You, of course, most likely won't be able to use ready-made widget. That's not always the true. I think a good example is Klaviyo there, that you can just use almost out of the box and not lose any of the capabilities there. You can still build your pop-ups in Klaviyo and show them on a headless site. But what are the cons of this app ecosystem? So these pre-built connectors will only get you this far. So they will always be generic. And they will also assume, they will always assume or will be targeted toward wider e-commerce flows, wider used e-commerce flows. And most often, merchants don't want out of the box experience those widgets offer. So on one hand, you benefit from one-click install, but then you have to build on top of it. And there is no robust, and most often there is no robust way of doing that. So what you do is you basically hack around those widgets. And by that, I mean you, for example, you apply a custom styling to those widgets to fit them more into your site. And if they don't offer a managed way of doing that, you basically try to find a way around the system, and in time it will change. We saw those cases very, very often that there is a widget, ready-made widget, some developer applied the styling on it, and the developer of the app decided that, okay, it's time to update the app. It's time to change something. And those changes, those custom changes to styling, no longer apply to it, and it break the site. And there is no way of knowing that upfront. And there is no way of mitigating that. So more often than not, those apps will work out of the box only if you use them exactly as they were intended to. And that's typically not what merchants want. And then you lose the value proposition of those one-click install apps. So the reliability of them and reducing the overhead when it comes to maintain those.
That makes sense. I think one interesting point that I took from that I guess, again, you probably don't hear talked about too often, and our average client, similarly to yours, is a premium fashion brand. And I guess there is a benefit to like forcing you to think about how you want the front end to be styled for all of those kind of different apps or third parties. So you kind of almost can't just lazily install like a Yotpo widget and stick with the base styling. So yeah, I think that's interesting, particularly if you're trying to create a very unique kind of brand experience.
Yeah. And that's only on a, you know, on a front end part. But what if you would like to adjust the flow of such ready-made integration? And the reality is that you either cannot and you have to compromise there, or going around is a very complex solution, one to initially create and to maintain. And most likely we'll have to integrate third parties just to go around those third parties and so on. So essentially you are in the same space of complexity as you could be with headless, but you cannot do it in a managed way. And you cannot control it, you cannot monitor it. That's where the... So I would even say that those apps are more targeted towards smaller merchants that experiment and still looking for their way of doing things, but they are... they are not mature technical solutions that could be extended in a reliable way.
Yeah, that is interesting. And the way that Riverside, that we're using to record this podcast, works, I don't know if you've noticed this, Michael, but essentially it like pauses sometimes. So I can't always hear what you're saying all the way through, but when it's uploaded, it's all kind of recorded locally, so it's perfect. So I might have missed some points, but one thing that that actually reminded me of as well is that a lot of the bigger merchants that we've worked with that have been on Shopify actually haven't used any of those front end or many of the front end widgets anyway. They've like built their own kind of widgets within the theme, and they've just used the API, so like a Yotpo or whatever else, and like kind of like what you're alluding to, that gives you a lot more control and Yotpo in particular, or reviews in particular, then you've got more ability to do like server-side rendering, etc. So yeah, totally get that. And I guess this is the interesting question that kind of, you know, always comes up when you talk about headless. So realistically, you know, if you're a £10 million fashion brand, £20 million fashion brand, and you are comparing apples for apples, Liquid will allow you to do things faster because you've got, you know, a number of kind of, you've got all of these third parties, have got pre-built connectors, you know, they're probably easier to support. The environments are going to be really similar, etc. But how big a difference do you think there is in terms of like the time it might take to introduce, you know, something like a Nosto or anything else that's going to be quite front-end orientated?
Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, there is no clear answer to that question, and it's always boils down. Yes, there is a lot of variables, and it all boils down to nuances. I think it's also worth setting up a baseline when it comes to headless implementations like so. So, you know, if we are not talking about very custom site-wide integration or multi-level integrations with services, we just want to consume some data from a service and show it. It's typically not a big development task. It's rather days of development than weeks. So yes, those integrations will be much faster when it comes to installing them. You can just basically install them from the Shopify back office and you should be good to go. But if you would like to adjust those, it may be the case that it will take longer and the result will be worse than writing it from the scratch using API and so on. So I think it's very much case by case, and it's very hard to have like a generic rule for that. But it can also be the case. I think the biggest difference there is not when you initially create such experience either through one pre-built connector or you do it custom. I think the biggest difference there is when you thinking about maintaining it. So what headless ecosystem offers you is a way of the maintaining those integrations could be more robust or more reliable in a headless architecture. It boils down to wider toolkit when it comes to, you know, automatic tests of your code or testing your sites or monitoring your site if it works or not. It also boils down to when, and of course I'm assuming optimistic scenario there, but if you're initially connected through the API to some kind of a third party, and you've done it right, maintaining it will most likely cost less, and extending those functionality, because it, one, you are in the control, two, you wrote it in a manageable way, and there is usually a wider set of toolkits for those. Another thing is that those APIs, especially if we are talking about established services, like, you know, you've mentioned Yotpo, for example, those APIs are mature. They don't change often. If they change, they have a deprecated period. You know about when it will stop working. You have time to adjust, and those changes aren't critical. So if we are talking about mature solutions like that, they are very, very developer friendly, and they're thinking about backwards compatibility a lot.
So that makes sense. And I guess the big question for me that I've always wondered, and I think you, I know you and Liam have talked about this at length, is like, what do you think the long-term play for hydrogen is? Because the way that I look at it is I think that you're going to end up with online store going more low code, no code, getting a lot more control within sections, a lot more visual editing, etc., and essentially the complexity around that coming down. And I guess then hydrogen then represents the more flexible side for more enterprise merchants, as you say. But do you see it being more connected to some of the third parties that are like key? Do you see it being more connected? Like, do you see people building out like connectors for hydrogen? Like, how do you think Shopify wants it to look in like 2 years' time?
Yeah, so I have a couple of thoughts around it. So I think, to be honest, it's already pretty well connected. More on that in a second. Second thought is that it's a typical, you know, chicken and egg problem. More people have to start using, so more people will start using it. But with hydrogen, I think hydrogen is in a very good position for that. It boils down to the fact that we already spoke about that, but hydrogen is just a front face of a bigger architectural change. So writing a hydrogen storefront means that you know how to write checkout extensions. It also means that you know how to write a custom app for Shopify, or you know, a panel for custom discount that you wrote using Shopify functions. So in a way, this set of capabilities needed for building hydrogen solution is also needed for much wider in a Shopify ecosystem. So, and most likely tech partners or agencies will be familiar with this technological stack. So it's a rather clever idea there. Also, what Shopify done in recent years with this architectural change is that they modularized and open up their own APIs, their own systems. So historically, apps, if you wanted to create more custom flow and you installed the app, most likely this app took the data that it could from the Shopify, does some business logic on its own, and then maybe came put the data back into the Shopify. Right now, those apps are much lighter, and they are just orchestrating the internal Shopify systems. And Shopify recreated their architecture, so there is much more communication through the APIs and so on. So at the same time, Shopify app developers are also more acquainted with, you know, Hydrogen, with API first builds and so on. So, and on that matter, Shopify, apart from creating Hydrogen is also investing a lot into external solutions. A good example is Sanity, which is baked by Shopify. It's a headless CMS, and they've also built this pre-built connector that allows you to put your product catalog and collections inside the Sanity, and you can extend this e-commerce data with editorial data. So from what I see, Shopify is turning into that direction, not only by creating Hydrogen, but in more general way. And there is also an outside of the Shopify that a lot of developers and a lot of talent around the front end is invested into the headless space. And even outside of the e-commerce, I think e-commerce is a bit of a special case in a development world. So outside of the e-commerce, we think about non-headless solutions very, very rarely. So I would say headless solutions are quite standard approach to how you build things, you know, using Remix, Hydrogen, Remix or Next.js or React and so on. And a lot of talent is already familiarized with that technologies. I think it will only grow. Of course, there is a risk, and it has to be accepted by the Shopify ecosystem, and by that I mean app developers, but also businesses. There has to be more messaging around it, and more clear communication around it, better best practices, and so on. But generally, thinking they are on a very good path there.
One thing that reminded me of that, again, I've spoken to a few people about in the past. I feel like with the new architecture, there's such a big opportunity for agencies to build more IP and kind of build out more accelerators like you see in the Salesforce and Adobe world. Because particularly, you know, functions, checkout extensions, but also Hydrogen, like it just feels like there's such an opportunity to like productize more and kind of like you say around Hydrogen generally, like reduce the barrier to entry a bit. So I think kind of almost last question, because the last two are kind of connected, but another thing that I've always not enjoyed of headless, and this is more pre-Hydrogen, but it feels like because of the flexible nature of headless, you can be a lot more kind of opinionated and there's a lot more room to build bespokeness into that kind of front end stack. And as a result, often there's like an element of agency lock-in. And it's a lot harder to leave an agency, and also another agency may not even be kind of the right fit to take on that code base. What's your view on this? Like, do you think this exists around Hydrogen, and how would you suggest that could be avoided?
Yes, so it's a bit connected to everything we already talked about. So if you go with Hydrogen, you have to make a ton of decisions about basically everything, about what kind of technology you use for styling, what kind of technology you use for a CMS, how you fetch the data, and so on. There's ton of different decisions, and you have to have a really responsible, really experienced partner for those decisions to be right. And it's the amount of points where you can make bad decisions is much bigger than on Liquid, for example. So what Shopify, I think, is doing is that together with Hydrogen, but also with all of those other decisions, they are introducing a set of standards a standard e-commerce composable stack. So on one hand, you have Oxygen for hosting. That's one decision not to make. On another hand, you have Hydrogen. Hydrogen also offers a toolkit how to fetch the data, how to load the data, how you should handle the internalization, and so on. Then you have Sanity, which is big solution there, and it will only grow. The same goes, and it's also a wider set of things. Like, there are standard approaches to things in Shopify world, like Klaviyo is an industry standard solution. Then you have Yotpo, for example, Nostan, and so on. There are very popular solutions there, and it's reducing the overhead of that those decisions. So it will also be much harder for agencies to come up with their own solution. Because you have to have reasons to go outside of the proposed solution by the Shopify way. Historically, that wasn't the case. Everything has to be done custom, and basically you relied on the agency. And there were reasons for that. Like even 2 years ago, you weren't able to do a proper filtering using Shopify. And you had to make it custom. So, and that's not the case today. So, apart from that, we have to also take into account that a lot of standard e-commerce functionalities are now done by Shopify. I think a good example is search and discovery. So, not so long ago, if you were headless and you wanted to create a good search experience, you had to choose a third-party solution for that, like, let's say, Algolia and so on, which could be overhead. Right now, you have more and more native solutions from Shopify, and you don't have to make that decision. So, yes, I am going to repeat myself. I think Shopify is not only offering you the hydrogen as just a front-end framework, it just offers you a set of solutions or set of best practices for building headless or composable commerce.
That makes sense. I think one other trend that I've seen recently is a lot more third parties are building out documentation around integrating with hydrogen. And I've seen that even with the smaller ones as well. And it's something that all of the kind of tech partners are thinking about. So I think that will help. And then the last point. So again, your notes ahead of this episode, you talked about the need for more of kind of a base theme, I guess, within the hydrogen arena or environment. Let's in the same way that Dawn is with Liquid. I guess, like, do you think this is something that's going to happen? And what are like the main reasons you think this is needed?
Yes. So more often than not, those very important decisions are made through seamlessly small things. And a big part of, I think, or a standard flow of creating the site on Liquid is starting from a Dawn team. Everyone is doing that. And we already spoke that outside of the Shopify, the developers are very well acquainted to headless. But a big challenge for Shopify nowadays is that there are a lot of developers that are strictly invested into the Shopify ecosystem, and that means Liquid. And they have to make it easier for them or easy for them to switch to this new technology or to get familiar with this new technology. And the starter team plays a huge role in that. Like, so it's a completely different start. If from day one, you already have a functioning e-commerce in a basic way, like you can show the products on PLP, you can show the each product on PLP, you can add to cart and go to checkout. And that's what you get from day one. It's a great learning resource, and you can just build on top of it. So it reduces, on one hand, this mental overhead you have to do that comes with, you know, learning new things. But it also reduces the stress and the risk that those developers may feel about this new technology. And in a lot of cases, those decisions are, developers have a very big impact on those decisions. It's not only a business decision, more often than not, also very much a development or technological decision there.
Great. And that concludes the episode. So I think we've covered a huge amount in this episode. And thanks so much for agreeing to come on. Yeah, I've always been super impressed with you guys. And I don't think many people have done more than you have with hydrogen. And I think, yeah, your work definitely speaks for itself. Magda Butram was the other site I was trying to remember earlier, by the way.
Yeah.
And so final question, I guess, like if people wanted to reach out to you and talk about kind of hydrogen and headless or even discuss a project or anything, how could they get in touch with you?
Yes. So please visit our site, commerceui.com. And you can contact us really easily from there. We are also very close to actually publish a site around the hydrogen on itself that will demystify a couple of things around it, and we'll also and we are more than happy to do consultations around it and discuss it more in depth.
Lovely. Perfect. Well, yeah, thanks everyone for listening. As always, we really appreciate any kind of likes or follows, all of that kind of stuff. James usually ends the episodes. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll release another episode next week.
For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gird, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.